The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. On this chilly Saturday, November the 16th, I can't believe that November is half over. I want to welcome our guest, Wendy Libertor, reporter for the Times Union that covers Saratoga County, which includes Saratoga Springs. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Rick.
Can you believe that it's the middle of November already?
No, and I cannot believe how cold it is.
It feels like it's the middle of January.
Yes, it does.
I tell you, I don't want to get into global warming because I don't believe there's such a thing, but I would call it an ice age on its way.
Yes, it feels that way. Yes, it does.
But anyway, we're glad you're here with us, Wendy, and we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of issues that are going on in Saratoga, and some of them do include politics, which we've been talking about since September because of the elections. But there's still quite a few things that are going on that have been carried over from the last administration, which is the current administration.
Yes, exactly. Not much has changed.
Not much has changed. We got a new member, Robin Dalton.
Except for the Commissioner of Public Safety.
Right, Robin Dalton won that spot. And so there'll be one new person in the council come January 1st. Some of the things that, why don't we get the election out of the way and then we'll get on city business. This was probably, I don't know what's been going on in Saratoga the past year with the school board elections being so...
They were contentious.
This election cycle here in Saratoga this past November from, well, even spring on has been so contentious that
yes,
it's...
And ugly.
Ugly. I mean, it's getting terrible. You never would think that. I mean, you can have good going back and forth, but, I mean, the accusations of some of the races between the candidates, I don't know. I just think that I never thought we'd be in that kind of a spot.
Right. It seemed like the focus was not on the issues, and it was more of certainly in the race for public safety, it was a lot of personal issues. And Robin Dalton, who won that seat, would say that, you know, she didn't want it to be that way and she didn't run on that. But the people that supported her were pushing heavily on, you know, wanting the press to focus exclusively on Kendall Hicks's history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, offering up letters and witnesses to various things he did and that he allegedly did. And it was...
Yeah, it was certainly not nice. I mean, there were a lot of people other than, I think, Commissioner Madigan saying things herself that were a little bit shouldn't have been said. I think it was people of the candidates that were saying
right,
a lot of bad things.
Right. In the case of Robin Dalton, it was her supporters and... you know, particularly the libertarian
faction. Yeah.
And as far as Michelle Madigan, though, who won as Commissioner of Finance, she tends to spew off a little bit too much. And that could hurt her, and it eventually will hurt her because she does tend to burn bridges with her temper.
Yeah.
And, but she won again.
I know. It's hard to understand. Well, see, I had talked a little bit last week with our guest that really, the city is very apathetic towards politics. There are a lot of groups, a lot of people that do things for the city in the way of service organizations and, you know, are involved in their own, items that they want to speak for, causes they want to speak for. And those people go to a council meeting if their cause is on the agenda that night. But, I mean, you go to every council meeting. You see how many people are there. Is it 50, 60 people every meeting?
No, it depends on what the topic is. Of course, if it's the hospital, you'll get a lot of people there.
Yeah, well, just like the casino. I mean, yes. When the casino came in. I mean, you had an anti-casino group that even paid for their own red T-shirts. So right. People do get... involved
but
when the issues
on the day-to-day people don't know how the money is being spent, really. I mean, it's all on the website,
right?
You know, the city has a pretty good website that'll tell you how the money is being spent, but people just look around Saratoga and think, oh, everything's wonderful, and that's why I think all the incumbents won.
Well, it's very hard to beat an incumbent.
Right, and because they have the name recognition as well.
Right, and I think it's as well as national politics, state politics. You don't go beyond the incumbent because, like you said, they have name recognition. They end up having more money to spend.
They had a lot more money this year. It was just like
the school board. Yeah,
they had a ton of money to spend. And
which kind of turns off the average citizen who wants to be involved in politics from running, because to beat an incumbent now, you have to have $40,000 or $50,000, and that's awful hard to come up with unless you're backed by the unions or the wealthy people in Saratoga.
Right.
Not that that's a bad thing. Don't
yes.
get me wrong. But the average person, let's say, like me, I wouldn't have access to a lot of the money people in Saratoga. And not that I am, but I could be the best candidate for an office, but I wouldn't never get elected. I know that. But the thing is, too, under this form of government, you have to be a qualified person to run the department.
Yes.
And you have to have the time to do it, although you do have a deputy that does run the department for you. I mean, where in the form that we tried to put up 2 years ago, you could be an average Joe that wanted to be involved in politics and get elected as an alderman of your ward. And you leave the running of the office to, I'm going to say, the deputy commissioner takes over as department head because they know the runnings of the department. And then it's overseen by the council and the city manager.
Right. Well, as things, that the only thing with that is it would not eliminate the money that is being poured in to our politics. And that has influence. You know, someone said to me, well, you know, it's only $1,000 for that candidate. Say, for example, Matt Jones, who's an attorney with, you know, who pushes for the hospital, who works for the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And
as their attorney.
You know, right. And people say that's not a lot of money, but it accumulates over the year. If you're an incumbent and you know you can guarantee you get $1,000 for Matt Jones, you're not going to go against what Matt Jones wants.
Right. Or if he holds a fundraiser at his house and you make $26,000 or $20,000 or whatever from the people that he invites to it.
Exactly.
And I do have to say, you know, we banner Matt Jones's name around, but Matt's a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's a good attorney.
Yes.
But I feel, and he has every right to give money to whoever
he wants.
I mean, you know, that's one thing we can't lose track of, is that these people can give money to whoever they want.
That's right.
And
I think he's smart. Because
he's a smart guy.
Money to incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to
He knows how to, exactly, but, yeah. And, you know, when we talked about Kendall Hicks and mm-hmm. you know, what had happened in 2013, we say allegedly because it was sealed and then they unsealed it and it showed that there was not much there that she recanted, but he was endorsed by a League of Women, not the League of Women Voters, but some woman's group out of Albany who had...
Yeah, I think it was the... Democratic Women, I think.
Yeah, somewhat women's organization in Albany had gone for him and endorsed him and Patty Morrison mm-hmm. and donated money to their thing. So obviously, in today's world of if you do things to a woman, you're stymied for life, especially in politics. I don't think it worked in that case. So there's always things that go on, and like you say, you can't blame people for donating to a candidate.
No.
But it's and the candidates don't always win, as in the school board election. Only
yes.
one of the three that were backed heavily via
right,
the money way.
Doesn't always win.
No, it doesn't.
But if it does win, that means that person has influence.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
more than the $100 donor or the $50 donor or the
right.
$30 donor.
Yeah, $25 donor. I mean,
yes.
you know.
Yes. Exactly.
But so. Yeah, it takes on a different light of issues, and people aren't aware of a lot of stuff that goes on. How many people go to the state board of elections to see what the donations are? Very few.
Right. That's right. But it's very revealing.
Yeah, it is.
You see who will have control.
Or the supports.
Yeah.
Right.
Not total control, but who will be influencing the candidate.
Yeah.
And
that's a good way to look at it. Is on that site because you can see who the donors
right.
are,
and
how
the
much
big donors.
And the big donors, and but I don't think many people even know where to go.
Right,
and you can
true.
Tell them where to go, and I'll tell you, it's a little bit confusing if you've never
right.
been on the site. If you've been on the site, you can navigate around a little bit easier. But and I don't think the average person really, and I don't even think they care about it.
Yes,
right. That's the thing. We really have apathy, as most cities do. I mean, we're not the only city that. Where the voters, you know, are oblivious to what's going on. In almost every city, town, that happens. You know, towns, not so much, because they're smaller, and they really can get kick up heels,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, I think another thing that was really interesting, talking about money and politics, was the flyers sent out by some independence committee
mm-hmm.
out of Long Island pushing for the incumbents and Dalton,
mm-hmm.
too. Those flyers were glossy, expensive, and they just kept on coming in people's mailboxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked online trying to find who this group is, haven't found it out yet.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. I was a lifelong Republican until I moved to Saratoga and saw how the Republican Party works. And sometimes I wonder if it's better not to know what goes on and just
yes.
go your merry way
yes.
or get involved and see what goes on, and then you just get more aggravated
right.
and you just talk
outraged.
Then you
yeah.
talk more, and then you wish you didn't say that, and then you talk more. And but yeah, so I just said out of heck, and not where I came from was any better, because we were a Republican-controlled city. But the glove manufacturers were all, you know, Republican, and they pretty much ran the city. And it was just a given that, you know, you should be Republican. And it was a different atmosphere of, I mean, they didn't make you do things. They didn't have that, well, you do this and we'll give you a job. And... I know
yeah,
my.
That's old Saratoga.
Oh, that's old Saratoga. My yeah. brother-in-law, when he was in high school, you know, senior, then he wanted to work at the track, but he had to go to the Republican chairman, and who I think was John Ruin at the time, had to go to him and promise to register Republican, and they gave him. He got a job at the track, and that's how it went in the old days. I don't think so much today, because I think that. form of governance in the committee is gone by the board. Some big cities, some strong cities may still operate that way. I don't know if Albany does, if they're still...
Well, but yes.
A little bit more control.
That would be the Democratic Party.
Right.
Though, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting you talk about getting a job at the track. Now that the track changed their schedule, they can't get people to work there no matter what party they're in.
I know. It's that's something. I mean, I do have to say I work at the track. It was nice having 2 days off, but I wish – the early start just gets me because you don't have any summer.
Right. It eats up your whole summer. I talked to a lot of teachers who are red caps, and they said they're not coming back next year.
Yeah.
So who is Naira going to get?
Well, it's
some
tough.
Some people there looked really young.
Oh, well, they are. I mean, I guess like so you can hire 15-year-olds, I think, if you don't work
caps.
Them so many hours, you know. But the thing is that... by having no summer, I met the city residents. I mean, you know, going downtown when
too.
The track is on is unreal. But to go downtown, to enjoy the downtown, and not have to put up with that influx of people, which is good for the city, don't get me wrong. I mean, the city makes a ton of money.
Yes, businesses
you know.
Enjoy it.
But yeah, but it's hard for us to enjoy it. So we either enjoy it and, you know, I would say pre-4th of July and after Labor Day. And that's probably the time we have to really have the city to ourselves, which some people say, well, that's being a little bit, you know, a bad outlook. But, hey, you know.
I think Naira did it just to save the money on overtime on day six.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, looking at it, like I said, it was a better thing for me.
You work the same amount of hours for less money. Basically,
right.
Everybody.
Well, actually, we work less. We instead of the 42 automatic, 42 with the automatic 2 hours overtime, we work 35. So we got our hours cut. But there are days too that we work more in Traverse and the big Saturdays. But I mean, I enjoyed having 2 days off. Don't get me wrong. But I made more money with 6 days. You were more tired at the end, and you didn't know what was going on during the 6 weeks because you were so tired and had to do everything in one day. But I think it was done to cut expenses, and that's what this new CEO is about. That's why he was put in there. I mean, to look to make more money, and I mean, they have a big nut to crack with that new building, which I don't think he's happy about. I don't think he was happy about that building. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mr. K did a lot of things in Saratoga.
Yes, he did.
And one of the things that he didn't want, according to the newspaper, was that he never wanted to have the city lease property to build a fire and ambulance station on their on leased property. But when Mr. O'Rourke came in, he gave the city what they wanted, you know, them to be able to lease property on the lower, we call it the lowlands. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the acreage of it myself, but he signed a lease with the city to have the city build the fire and ambulance thing on there. Personally, I would have rather have seen the city buy a piece of property.
Yes.
If I'm going to invest $3 to $6 million in a building that includes more help, the area needs it. Don't get me wrong.
Yes,
the Eastern Plateau for 20 years has been.
Oh, definitely.
So the area needs it, but I'm a little squeamish of spending that kind of money on leased property.
Right, and I'm not so certain how close it is really to the areas that need the EMS and fire station.
Right.
It's still a little bit more remote than
building on the where they had the property before that they just did it wrong.
Right.
I mean, you know, that was a bad deal, but I think there was property out there. As a matter of fact, the fellow who owns, Tom Newkirk owns the golf course out there, had offered the city property, and yes, it he wanted to build, what was it, a little hotel or something back there, and the city didn't want him to do it, although there is so much property back there that it would have still left that area that he owns with, my gosh, a lot of property. Even with giving the city what they wanted for the fire and EMS station, but the city didn't go for it.
I think the city just jumped on the Naira thing because Meg Kelly wanted to have another victory before election. Mm-hmm. She would have taken any piece of property at this point before the election just to say, I did it.
Yeah.
Same with Code Blue. That mm-hmm. wasn't well thought out either.
No, we'll get into that in a little bit because they may have some problems with that, you know, with that piece of property that they're leasing also and rehabbing. And, you know, we'll get into some of the specifics on that one. But I think that, you know, to close up the election thing, I'm hoping that we can have elections that you don't need to raise $50,000, $40,000 to run for a job that pays $14,500. And, I mean, I know it's nice that you want to be involved in the city and help run the city or have decisions that you feel are good for the citizens. And that's admirable to run for office for that reason. I mean, it really is. I always give people credit, even if they don't win. You know, you have to say thank you for running. It's better than the past couple elections where nobody's run against incumbents. And
well, the stakes were high. The stakes were really high this time around, especially because of the hospital vote. If Tim Holmes had won,
mm-hmm.
he was definitely a no vote on that.
Right.
Patty Morrison, definitely a no vote on it.
Right.
Dylan Moran, definitely a no vote.
Right, so that would have carried it.
The hospital was really pushing to make sure the incumbents got in there.
Well,
I think the incumbents are willing to, you know, oblige.
Well, there's already two that have said that they will vote yes. There's only one so far that said they'd vote no. I think one of the two that will decide whether it goes or not will be either Commissioner like Dalton or Mayor Kelly. John Frank has already abstained, said he would abstain from the vote. Commissioner Madigan and Scirocco said that they will vote yes. And so it's going to be up, either Mayor Kelly or Commissioner Dalton will break the, will make it or break it. And
considering the money they got, Meg Kelly and Robin Dalton got from the hospital and Matt Jones, it's kind of clear which way they're going to go.
Well, I hope they vote citizens' best interest, and we'll see. I mean, all we have to do is see. That'll be the proof of the pudding, you know, whether
money matters,
money
or
talks,
people
or people matter. I mean, you know, we'll just have to see. I honestly think that because they're not adding rooms on for a medical departments, only doctors' offices and medical record offices, that having it off-site isn't a bad thing. And they had other property right on their own campus to build.
Yes.
And you know what happens now when they put a 59-unit apartment on Broadway? What do? When you only build it on a 3/4-acre lot, they build up. And I know there was a talk about a helicopter landing and more problems with that. Well, the building's taller. The helicopter won't have to land so low.
Yes.
I mean, really, you know, you look at some of the excuses and they just don't make sense. But I think people just don't care.
Yeah.
And
we'll
see.
I think they would if they knew that their neighborhood could possibly change.
Right.
For a big money project. You know, that's the thing. I think that's what upsets people who are in the know, that, okay, the zoning residential zoning can change to accommodate
business.
Right.
I mean, even though it's a nonprofit, and, you know, we do have a great hospital now.
Yes, absolutely.
We do. Yeah. And all around, if you can take a walk all around that area, we have very large doctors and specialists. You got One West. You have Caroline, some of the best heart doctors around. Physical therapists. You have orthopedic. Who's? I mean, there's probably
a
dozen.
Health needs can be met in Saratoga Springs, pretty much. And, you know, unless you have a rare disease, and even then, you could probably be.
It could. You could be taken care of, or they're going to send you to Albany anyway. I mean, I don't know how many. You know, and then there's the talk of the 44 or 42 apartments. The hospital said they won't build, but they had included it in their plans that they gave the city. And the houses are going to be built along the golf course, the Polo and golf course, and the parking lot with the big lights are going to be built over on the sides of the housing developments.
Yes.
And I wish they had put the parking lot on the side of the golf course.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they'll accommodate people because people are upset about this.
I know.
Really upset. And hopefully the hospital, if this goes forward, which it probably will accommodate.
I hope so, because there was a, in the Saratoga Today, which has become the local paper, you know, other than the Times Union Gazette, I think the Saratogian's fading out.
Yes,
it's sad to say.
It is sad.
It is sad. But, I mean, they had an article, a letter to the editor, because last week the hospital had put a full-page advertisement with some information, and they say that the caption of this is, neighbors agree with Saratoga Hospital that proposed expansion is too important an issue. And they, in quotes, it says, issue to allow misinformation and blatant falsehoods to go unchallenged. And I think they're targeting that to what the CEO of the hospital had written in that full-page ad last week, that, you know, they felt that a lot of the things that he said were totally false. One of the things he said was, the hospital says the review process was comprehensive and open, and it was answered by, yet it never appeared on any agenda for the city council or comprehensive master plan committee. So people really didn't know when the meetings were going to be.
Well, it certainly wasn't on the comprehensive plan. It was kind of like an afterthought.
Right.
It was on the council agenda, and that's when a lot of people show up to the meetings.
Yeah,
and even John Frank said, if we approve these zoning changes throughout the whole city, we should pull that one out, or, you know, look at that one specifically.
Right.
Changing it. So maybe they will.
I think John, you know, is pretty much the even-tempered, looking for this, love for the citizens. I mean, I've always felt that, as his term on the council, that he's been the ship that sails on the most even plane. I really do. I know he can be a little bit gruff, but he knows what he's talking about a lot. And
in my mind, he's really the only Democrat left on the
I would say so. And you know what? He was a Republican.
Yes,
and he couldn't run as a Republican. They wouldn't let him, so he turned Democrat, and now he's, you know, he's a good Democrat.
Yes.
And so it's funny. But then the other statement that the hospital said, it said millions of dollars will be lost if they locate the office building farther from the hospital. And it was answered, however, they can build it on their existing campus, which has 20 acres of flat parking lots, by constructing a multi-deck parking garage, which makes sense. I mean, go down to Albany Med, and they've got, what, a 4 or 5-story parking garage, which I mean, see, there's other alternatives that I don't think the hospital wanted to look at. And
that's what Tim Holmes was advocating for the hospital to build upwards.
Right.
Of course, there's a limit in the city on how high you can go, which
but you
I
know
understand
what?
It.
But you know what? Couldn't they change that for that piece of property as well as
right.
easy as they did the rezoning?
Yes. And, yeah, it's the neighbors who are against it said they're just going to keep it in legal limbo forever. They're going to fight it. I mean, I don't know. They must have unlimited funds because that's an expensive prospect.
But they don't. I mean, I know a few of the neighbors over there, and they're doing it through doing things to raise money. So they don't have unlimited resources. But there's a lot you can do. I mean, if you have an attorney that will fight for you, and you can extend things out quite a ways.
Yeah, they had early successes, but I'm not sure if they can win this. I really don't.
Well, unfortunately, it's money talks. You know, that's what it is. And I don't even mean on putting it on the council. Just
right.
money talks. And you know, you see that with big development in Saratoga.
Yes. At least with the hospital, they can say, we're taking care of you. Big development can't even
right,
say that.
Can't say that. But, you know, this borders on the green space, too,
yes.
which is a big bone of contention also because of the city people, the ones in the know and the people with money keep pointing to our green space.
Yes.
Well, when you only have like little patches of green that they're building five-story buildings on going up, that's not really, you're taking green space away,
yes.
you know, and it's sad. I mean, I look at what they did over on 29 next to the post office. I mean, you know, I've got deer. I live in a development mm-hmm. across the street in back of Empire State College, and we have deer walking up the streets in our development. They have nowhere to go because across the street from us, they tore the woods down. They're building five houses. They have no space between the houses because the piece of property isn't that big. And $500,000 homes where you can open your window and probably throw a piece of paper and hit the house next door to you. And I mean, we got everything from over there too, skunks and groundhogs and it's sad. It's sad to see what Saratoga is turning into. And I know people say that, and it's mostly people that move up here say, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so, you know, I mean, there's so much going on. And well, I don't know.
I think that they're going to hit a wall at one point.
They have to.
I lived in Westchester for many years, and there was a condo boom there in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and people were, you know, developers were just going crazy, and then it went bust.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted the condos anymore. And I could see that happening here. They should be careful on overdeveloping.
Right. And, you know, condos really have it. When we had John Frank, who's the commissioner of accounts that handles the tax, you know, mortgages, tax, and property values, he was saying that condos are taxed at a different level than houses are. You could have a $400,000 condo or a $1 million condo, but you don't pay that price in property taxes. You build it on a prorated on the piece of property. So
interesting.
Yeah. And I think the only city, and if I got this right, because this was a couple years ago, the only city in the state, and that's a state law, is Buffalo. They got an exemption, I think, and they can tax the condo on the price. So it would be like a $400,000 home if you bought a $400,000 condo. Now, if that ever changes, which a lot of people are pushing for, I mean, why should you pay less taxes than me when your condo is $400,000 and my house is $300,000 or
yeah.
whatever? if that ever changes, that's going to affect condo ownership, I think. Because I see, as I've been told, that most of the condos aren't year-round residents. I mean, the population of Saratoga over the last, I would say, 20 years has only grown by a couple thousand people,
yes.
If that. And if you look around at the building and the developments, you'd say to yourself, what are you, crazy?
I think a lot of them might be Airbnbs or just sometime residents.
But see, if you are if you live, let's say, in Florida for 6 months and a day, you're counted as a Florida resident. And most people do that so that they can take advantage of their taxes. So you're not counted as a full-time resident of Saratoga. So if you're here less than 6 months and, you know, you own an expensive condo, you're still not counted as a full-time resident. And I think that's, you know, I'm not going to say that's all of it, but we do have more seniors moving to Saratoga from or retired people, let's say, from downstate.
Yes.
A lot of them come from downstate. That retire and they live Saratoga in the summertime for what it offers and maybe late spring and early fall, but then they move somewhere,
right.
Florida, Arizona, wherever. But so that's an issue that could change our taxes are going to have to go up at some point.
Right.
I mean, you can't go 8 years without a tax increase and think that's a good thing because
right.
it's
and you
not.
Can't constantly use your savings. The city is using its savings.
It's surplus.
Michelle would say that there's plenty of money there and no need to raise taxes.
Well, homeowners or working people, you don't put something away for a rainy day, you're in trouble when that rainy day comes. And I think here it's going to be a tornado. It's been too long since we've had. Look, I don't want my taxes raised, you know, but
no
as a
does.
Homeowner, no one does, but as a homeowner, you have to be a little bit realistic. And I've spoken to three past mayors, and they said that they were never in favor of a zero tax increase for so long. I mean, even a 0.5%, maybe like 2 times out of the 8 years,
yes,
or three
right.
times. I mean, you don't have to raise them 5, 6, 7, 8%, yeah. But holy mackerel. I mean,
well,
your contracts go up every, every, 2 or 3 years, and all the benefits.
The benefits, the salary increases. Saratoga could be headed after Michelle leaves for a shock to the system.
I would say so.
Because I'm sure she will maintain the low tax rate while she's in office.
All right. Well, we got 20 of already. And
okay.
See, when we talk.
Yes.
I want to bring up one other thing about transparency in government.
Yeah.
Some of our commissioners talk about transparency. They ran on transparency, more transparency. We have an issue here. I spoke about a lot because I honestly don't believe that elected officials should get any lifetime benefits from the city. We had a commissioner, Commissioner Madigan, who this is her fifth term. She has to finish the fifth term to be qualified. And this is even if charter passes, it will still qualify. It won't happen for 2 years. So she will receive a free health care insurance for the rest of her life. I hope she leads a really, hope she's healthy and lives a long life. But we're talking about 55 to, let's say, 85, and we're looking at over $2 million a year. Over that term, the premiums are between $25,000 and $30,000. And the three candidates that ran that didn't win were going to propose an elimination of that benefit. And I'm just wondering if the council, I know we have, 80% retention of candidates, if somebody will propose to eliminate that benefit.
Well, Meg Kelly was asked that question at the League of Women Voters forum, and she said she would be in favor of doing that.
She would.
Yes.
Well, I hope she brings the subject up, and I would I would think that Robin would bring also bring the subject up. I don't think anybody believes that and I know it's a part-time job, and they say it's not a part-time job, and that, and you know, they do an awful lot of work, and I don't.
They get low pay.
And they get not right. $14,500 is really tough. But they do have full-time deputies that run the day-to-day operations,
who
and
are
the
experts,
deputies, yeah. Right, who pretty much are experts in that department, and they get a decent salary with benefits, and you don't begrudge them that. And I don't begrudge, you know, like Commissioner Scirocco gets full-time health benefits. He worked for the city for 34 years.
Yes.
It was a contracted item in that, and I don't begrudge him either.
Right.
But I don't think a commissioner, an elected official, should get a lifetime benefit. So I'd like to see somebody step up to the plate. I mean, we will have three out of the five council people that are receiving full-time health.
Would you like to see it retroactive?
You
know, in other words, take away John Frank.
I would like to see it retroactive to this year.
I see.
I mean, he got that benefit years ago, and they did talk about when Scott Johnson was there. He tried to do that, but not make it retroactive to the person that had it. All right, but it didn't pass. So. I think since Commissioner Madigan hasn't received it yet, all right, she won't receive it until she finishes this two-year term.
Mm-hmm.
So she hasn't got the benefit yet. She doesn't qualify for it unless she doesn't finish her term. That it could be retroactive as of the date they pass the resolution.
Well, considering Meg Kelly and Michelle Madigan are so close, I certainly doubt that the mayor, Meg Kelly, would bring it up.
Well, you know what? Here again, that is to be seen. And that's
yes,
something
she
that
might.
Hopefully voters will remember. But I honestly think that for the best of the citizens, that it will be brought up. I just have that in my mind. It will be brought up because I honestly feel it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. I want to talk about now the Code Blue.
Yes.
Because that is a big, big thing in Saratoga. Has been since it was started in 2013. I think Joanne Yepsen, when she was supervisor, really got the ball rolling on that. We had one lady that passed away in Saratoga, a homeless lady.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of pushed it to the forefront in our city. But then Governor Cuomo passed a law, assembly passed a law that every executive order.
Every county has to have a Code Blue shelter.
Yeah. So we never had a permanent Code Blue shelter. We depended on the generosity of churches, or I think St. Peter's was the first one to offer.
St. Peter's, then the Salvation Army.
Yeah, and the
Soul
Saving Station
was the third one.
And right.
Then the overflow always went to the
Presbyterian Church.
Yes, the New England Presbyterian.
Now, excuse me, I just drowned a little bit. The Presbyterian Church this past year had offered the city a building at no charge.
Yes.
For their Code Blue shelter, and they ran into problems with the neighbors. The neighbors said, not in my backyard.
Right, because they had a lot of issues, because basically they already feed the homeless. And
right.
It just, the neighbors felt there was too much going on in their neighborhood to...
Right, so put it on the west side.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I don't, you know what? In my development years ago, they wanted to put a home for disabled people. And they would, or special needs people. And, you know, at first there was a little pushback. Then the neighborhood got together and said, you know what? other areas have these homes and they don't have problems.
Yes.
So we everybody stopped pushing against it. And you know what? They're the best neighbors you could ever want. I mean,
that's good to know.
They walk the neighborhood and we go out and talk to them, and they're really nice. They're great neighbors. And, you know, people don't have to be bad neighbors. I honestly don't believe that. And I really was upset when they didn't get the Presbyterian church, because I know a couple people that go to that church, and they were really eager to take their part in helping the situation.
Yes.
But here again, it's like the hospital, not in my backyard. Well,
right.
They
and
just don't drop it.
That's,
you know,
how they lost. They could have had the permanent shelter built and ready to go if they went with the original plan on Walworth.
Right, with $1 million. Right, at the shelters of Saratoga with $1 million donation from Mr. Mitzen.
From Finger Paints.
I mean, here you had a citizen that was offering $1 million, and I'll bet you another thing. Off of that donation, I'll bet you other people, business people in Saratoga, would have donated large amounts of money.
Nacho said he would build it for free.
Yeah.
Not free, at cost.
At cost.
Yeah.
But here again, the neighbors over there said, no, we don't want it. Even with updates to security that
they were
going to
have
shelters
lights all over the place. They were only going to release them like two at a time.
Yeah, they were going to have blockades so they couldn't get into
the
alleyways.
And it was.
And that was sad. So they lost that too. Now it was offered. Mayor Kelly and Commissioner Madigan worked on a piece of property on Adelphi Street.
Yes,
for
Adelphi Street.
And you looked in the building. You checked
it's basically just an open garage.
Okay.
And with no bathroom. I'm assuming they're building a bathroom in there now.
I would think they need one or two wood showers. I would think so.
Right. But the Soul Saving Station never had showers. The homeless folks still had to walk over to the Salvation Army to get a shower. That's why they liked keeping it more in the downtown core area, because the homeless population has to go somewhere during the day. Now they're going to have to walk even farther into town to get their showers and
Have their lunches. And,
right, because the Presbyterian Church still serves lunch to them.
But one of the things that the executive director had made about the shelters was that last year they served 8,000 meals.
Yes.
At the area that they were at. Now, at this area here, the new Adelphi place, there's no kitchen.
I'm assuming they're going to at least put up counters and tables, and perhaps they're cooking the food elsewhere. Lots of times volunteers would make the food, you know, not at Soul Saving Station, but bring it in.
Well,
and
maybe
restaurants would also bring it in.
Yeah, I think it would be hard for homeowners to cook food to bring it in because of the safety issue, but they may be able to use the kitchens at the food Presbyterian Church that has the...
Perhaps.
Although they're working all morning to put the lunches out at their place.
Yes.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the city's providing $20,000 for the funding to Shelters of Saratoga to assist the Code Blue facility. Here again, it's a leased facility. If the city bought it, I would think they'd want it closer into town, because the people that are going to use it have to be bused in, and Shelters of Saratoga is providing the transportation. But you had raised the point earlier that what happens if 2 o'clock in the morning someone needs to go down there? Are they going to be able to be provided transportation?
Right. Apparently they can call Shelters of Saratoga.
And something
will... And somebody will come and get them eventually.
Okay.
And then they have to drive them down to Balsam Spa. It's definitely not an ideal situation.
No.
And we need it in Saratoga.
Right. And longer term, Madigan said that the mayor's office will be directing a city employee to focus on Code Blue and homelessness in the hopes that a permanent long-term solution can be found. And I would have thought that would have happened in the last couple of years. Yes. I mean, because they've been saying this, and right. I mean, you can't wait until the last. I mean, how long has this been going on that they're finding a permanent place? I mean, if you lose one, you automatically start the process and look for another one. I think the problem comes in on this one is that it's owned by a fella that owns the Saratoga Diner, Spa City Diner, and owned a place in Gloversville called the Traverse Diner. And if I'm not mistaken, he is the same person that is accused of murdering a young girl with a friend of his and dumped her body on the Northway entrance ramp of exit 13 and covered her body with a couple cinder blocks. The reason why has come out, I don't know if it's the real reason or not, so I don't know, I don't want to say, but I wonder if that could be a problem for the city's lease with him.
I wonder that too. I'm not sure.
Because I don't know if he's convicted. I don't know how long it'll take. If he's convicted, I don't know if he has to give up his assets. And it wouldn't seem to me that the city, after spending money to rehab the building, I mean, they're leasing, I think it's only this winter and next winter, so they're going to have to move anyway.
Yes.
And they're spending money in this. I would try to attempt to buy the, well, I don't know if I want it there, though. You want it closer to the core.
Well, John Frank has the idea that you should put it across the street from the Salvation Army at that lot, that open parking lot. And
which one?
It's there's a garage there as well. And it's on Woodlawn Avenue.
Okay.
And there's a city-owned land already.
All right. Now, is it up? Is it over Church going up towards?
If you go up Church from Lake or Broadway.
Right.
Yeah, you would take a left.
Okay.
On Woodlawn. And then it would be on your left. Because Salvation Army's on your right.
It's not in back of Adirondack Trust, is it?
Kind of, yes.
But is it those parking lots?
It would be.
It'd be there's a small one in back.
It would be a little ways down from Adirondack Trust.
Oh, okay. So in the
not
area.
Directly behind it, just down the street.
All right. So in the area of like where Compton's back entrance is.
Yes, and, exactly.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. And John Frank said that would be the ideal location. Salvation Army, they can get their services.
Yeah, and the shelters isn't too far away from there either.
And I think. The shelters likes that idea. John Frank's pushing it at the city. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's city-owned property.
Yes, that's what he's saying. It's city-owned. Let's do it. We can do it without, we can have a creative building that's not going to pull away too many of the parking spots. He's thinking that people can park underneath a building.
Well, they can always add another level onto the Woodlawn garage. I mean, I think that was the purpose when they built that if they wanted to add on, or you could even add on and take the parking lot away and put another three-story structure there.
Yeah.
I mean, they did sell the property or give it away to Adirondack Trust, that parking lot that the city owned in the back.
Yeah.
And I got a beef with the entrance to the parking garage or the parking lot. That entrance on Woodlawn Avenue is only room enough for one car. And boy, if you're turning in there when a car's coming out or a car is going.
No, it's difficult.
They should, you know,
I've had that situation a couple times.
A lot of people have. And I asked Commissioner Scirocco years ago if they couldn't take that one tree down and they would lose one parking spot and make it a large opening. So that you could have two cars coming out and one going in, one going out with no problem, especially if you're trying to take a left in there. But obviously, it's not a good idea because it never happened. And I'm hoping that Robin Dalton, because she's really an eager beaver, when she sets her mind to something, she usually gets it done. And I'm hoping she can influence the commissioner to do that, because in all honesty, I think it's a traffic hazard and it's an accident
happen. If they do build the Code Blue shelter there, that can be part of the project.
I hope so. I mean, I would like to see that. It's a dangerous thing. I don't know.
Well, parking is a huge problem throughout the city, especially now that the the garage is being built by City Center.
Right.
And no one has anywhere to park.
Yeah.
Who has parked in that lot for years.
Yeah.
So it's...
We always seem to build more parking and still have a parking problem. Have you noticed that?
Yes. I mean, there's studies that show if you build it, they will come, and then you will have more of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you widen a highway that's jam-packed.
Yeah.
The cars will just fill it up.
Oh, yeah. It's always jam-packed. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, you know what? In a way, it's a good thing to have. And I always thought, you know, if they ended up building the parking lot down there, and I always thought what they could have is a shuttle. See, if you have older people that park in that garage and want to get to Broadway, you could have a little shuttle, a little van that could bring them up to Broadway if the weather's bad, and it wouldn't put them out, you know.
That would be nice.
Well, that's another...
Yeah, and actually, I think the City Center is doing something with people who are renting the City Center now, as far as the parking goes.
Yeah, and that's fine.
They're shuttling them from somewhere. I'm not sure where they're parking.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, if I go down, an older person goes down,
a citizen, anybody be able to use it.
Right, because it's hard for to walk up that hill. And especially if you're 70, 75 years old and you want to go downtown, and it'll be a nice place to park because it's undercover. But to walk up there might be a little difficult. And it'd be nice to have, they can drop them off right up the corner.
Have one of those little trolleys.
Yeah, one of
those free trolleys just driving back and forth.
And in the wintertime, it could be heated so they could get them up. I don't know. Yeah. It's just,
that's a nice idea. Maybe you can bring this up with... soon-to-be Commissioner Robin Dalton.
Well, you know, yeah, and I would, even if that's not her forte, she can bring it up to the council. I mean, and she would. I know she would, whether they go for it or, you know, just say, you know, we really can't do it. That's fine. I mean, at least they think about it. I am not worried about Commissioner Dalton. I think she'll be, knowing her as far as dealing with people, she'll bring things up. And I know she has told me she wants to have community meetings outside of City Hall because 2 minutes is not enough time.
No, it's not.
To discuss things. And I think that's a great idea.
I know when
my father was a councilman in Gloversville, he was a councilman for 12 years. He would always have a ward meeting before the council meeting, the night before, 2 nights before.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's great and Chris Mathiesen used to do that.
Yeah, you can connect with your constituents.
Exactly, really, and that's important. The way to do it. And she said she's going to do that, and I give her a lot of credit for hopefully she'll see it through, and I think she'll, that's a good way to get with your constituents on the ground level.
Yes.
And that's great.
Right, Wendy, the 2 minute bell goes off, and that's...
That's right, and the gavel hits, and a lot of times people keep talking, and it's a hard job to stop people from talking, especially when there's a charter change meeting and I get all excited, you know. Hey, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Are you kidding? You're so busy. It's hard to get you here, but when we do, it's fun.
Yes.
All right. Hey, listen, next Saturday, we have Diana Yezzi, who's the owner of Integrated Staffing. It's an employment agency in Saratoga Springs, and we'll get to know about an employment agency and how they work. Her and her husband started the business out of their home, moved to the office building on West Avenue that I have my internet station in, outgrew that, and are now in a larger space, and they handle a lot of jobs. Employment, temporary to full-time and full-time. So it's going to be interesting. So be with us next Saturday. Have a great week and stay warm.